The novels of Kurt Vonnegut take place all over the space-time continuum. His new novel, Hocus Pocus, goes from West Point to Vietnam to upstate New York in the year 2001. Book critic John Leonard has a review.
When I'm feeling as bad as he does, it seems to me that Kurt Vonnegut is the last innocent white man in America. He doesn't make excuses in his novels for what we've done to ourselves in this century. Out of pain and disappointment, he makes jokes instead. These jokes turn on us and bite our hands or neck. When I'm not feeling that bad, it seems to me that Vonnegut is what America used to be and ought to be all about. A one-man Bill of Rights, a plain-spoken small-D Democrat, a Johnny Appleseed of decencies. Which makes him, of course, a stranger in this strange land of big money and puny hearts. No wonder in his novels he has to leave town, leave even Mother Earth for outer space, usually to his favorite alien planet, Tralfalmador. He needs Tralfalmadorians the way Garcia Marquez needs angels, and Toni Morrison needs ghosts, and Shakespeare needs clowns. There must be an alternative to what we have become, a loftier intelligence. Tralfalmadorians show up briefly in Hocus Pocus, Vonnegut's latest. So do William F. Buckley Jr. and Malcolm Forbes and Elizabeth Taylor in various disguises. Vonnegut himself appears as a memorial fountain on the campus of an upstate New York college for the white dyslexic children of the filthy rich. But they are all bit players in the bigger drama of Eugene Debs Hartke, a Vietnam War hero who begins by teaching history at that college and who ends by teaching reading and writing to illiterate blacks and Hispanics in a prison very much like Attica, right across the valley from the college. There will be a revolution in this valley, and Eugene Debs Hartke, like Howard Campbell in Mother's Night, like Kilgore Trout in Jailbird, will be tried for treason. Hocus Pocus is so intricate that too much synopsis might spoil your appetite. But the big picture is that Japanese run our hospitals and prisons. Koreans own the New York Times. Italians own the St. Louis Cardinals. Neither the dyslexic children of the filthy rich nor the illiterate black and Hispanic jailbirds can read the writing on the wall. Eugene Debs Hartke, named for the great American labor leader, adds up the number of women he's loved and the number of men he's killed and comes to an identical body count. The novel itself is written on scraps of paper Hartke stuffs into his pockets like one of Sherwood Anderson's Winesburg stories. The college itself was started by someone who looks like Abraham Lincoln. When the jailbirds escape and cross the valley to attack the college, they skate on thin ice, as in Uncle Tom's Cabin. Once upon a time in this valley, they made the covered wagons used by the cannibalistic Donner Party. We actually meet Moby Dick's penis and a character named Norman Updike. Funny, yes, and prophetic, and fabulous too, as cunning as Aesop, as gloomy as Grimm. But Hocus Pocus is also rich and referential, a meditation on American history and literature, an essay on the end of innocence. For Vonnegut, the civil war between black and white is far from over, and the civil war between rich and poor has only begun. We're left with Hartke's definition of high art, making the most of the raw materials of futility. Out of these raw materials, Vonnegut has made the highest art, his best novel in years.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.